And she, it's just the two of us in the hallway, and she looks at me and she says, "My, what a pretty little girl you are." And to hear that, she not knowing what I was going through, I will never forget that moment. So now fast forward almost 30 years later to have an opportunity to meet her one-on-one.
Wow. Again,
equally as gracious, equally as kind. And she embraced who she was.
Welcome to the Proud and Curly Podcast, the podcast all about celebrating naturally curly hair. I'm Sierra, your host and founder, also known as C. Johnson on YouTube and Instagram, and you, my girlfriend, are in the right place. Every Friday, you'll get new insight and curlspiration on how to manage and maintain your natural curls. It doesn't matter if your hair is a wavy 2A type, a kinky 4C texture, or if you're anywhere in between. After the episode, the conversation always continues on the Proud and Curly Instagram page, so be sure to follow us there. Hi, welcome back to the Proud and Curly Podcast. Today I'm bringing you episode number 13. In today's episode, we're getting to the root of our natural hair problems by learning how to detangle our heart issues instead of our hair issues. Today we're talking with Michelle Roseman, the author of Hair Looms. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast, watching our videos. This is also a video episode, so check out the visual experience on YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or you can listen on Spotify now. Did you know that? Fun fact, we're on Spotify. So today we are going to dive into the beautiful story of Michelle Roseman and her journey on how she was able to detangle her heart issues, then to go on and embrace her hair issues. Or, well, they're not issues, but she was able to embrace what she thought was hair issues. In her book, Hair Looms, she's been blessed to interview amazing women like Maya Angelou, Nicole Parker, and Kim Coles to also get their perspective on their own natural hair journeys. This episode is pretty special, guys, and one of my favorite. Sorry, I'm like looking down because I wrote it like perfectly how I want to say it, but you know how that goes. So this is one of my favorite episodes, and I'm really excited. It really was touching for me, and like her advice is just really like resonating. So I hope you guys really enjoy it, and I just want to go ahead and jump right into the episode so we can get to the value.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hi. I love like what you're doing with your book, Hair Looms, and everything. If you would introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background.
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle Tapp Roseman, and I am the author of Hair Looms, The Untangled Truth About Loving Your Natural Hair and Beauty. And this is a nonfiction book which closely mirrors my journey to really loving myself from the inside out, which includes all of my wonderful kinks and curls. And it talks about different issues that kept me from fully embracing who I am as a Black woman with the features that I've been blessed to have. And I think many of us may find ourselves having struggle points with that. And that really is what precipitated me writing the book. And so again, Hair Looms touches on all of that. But the unique thing about the book is it's not only chronicling my journey, but I had the privilege and honor of interviewing 32 people as well who talk on some aspect of Black women loving their hair and beauty. And these women include Dr. Maya Angelou. I was able to personally interview her before she passed, and Hollywood actresses, Nicole Parker and Kim Coles and a host of other people. So it's really a great read if you're trying to dig beyond to get to the roots of how you feel about yourself so that you can really embrace all that you've been given. And that's really Hair Looms in a nutshell.
Oh, that's beautiful. What kind of happened in your personal hair journey, I guess, as a child growing up, like that led you to want to find these answers and uncover these stories?
Sure. Great question. And asking about what things in my childhood actually moved me to want to embrace my natural hair and beauty. I was teased a lot as a young girl, 4 years old, three, four, just because of my complexion. Being dark skinned, I was often called Blackie and Nappy Head. And those words really scarred me to the point, you know how sometimes you get scarred, but you're not even aware? It's almost like a paper cut. I'm going to use a very loose analogy. Oftentimes we don't even realize that we've been cut. Mm-hmm. And so we start to move. And then the movement is stalted. It's not halted, rather. It's not as seamless as we would like. The same thing happened for me. I was cut very deeply by the words that were spoken to me again about my complexion, about hyperpigmented gums, and the fact that my hair was not straight. And so when you and we internalize those types of things as I did, I subconsciously began to, I was going on a quest to have my hair straight by any means necessary. I would refer to myself as what I would say a serial permer, meaning I permed for well over 25 years and I had to get a perm. It was like an addiction. It was a fix because that point, when I was a little girl and was always teased about my hair, that to me, it told me that I was not, it's a lie though, but it told me that I was not pretty, I was not beautiful, and that the opposite of who I actually was beauty. So that would be fair skin and someone with very long hair. So I couldn't achieve, I didn't get into bleaching my skin, even though some people But what I actually did was, again, I was a serial permer. I permed my hair all the time. Didn't matter if I had burns the size of a quarter in my head, didn't matter if my hair broke off, all of those things, I was willing to endure it because I wanted to have straight hair. And so going back to your specific question, all of those events really pushed me to want to dig deeper. And specifically as an adult, the event that what happened when I was a child pushed me to want to have straight hair. But what really changed me to want to get to a transition point was when I was planning on having children and I thought having a perm was not the best thing. So I decided to then go natural just for the 9 months. And at that point, I realized how uncomfortable I was with how I looked, because I wanted to prepare to be healthy mother as possible for the baby in particular. And so I decided to stop perming. And when my roots came up, a whole lot of other stuff came up. That's what started that adult journey to start writing Heirlooms.
Wow. So that's interesting that once you started to have children,
yes.
You said, okay, I don't know about this perm. I don't want to affect my children.
Exactly. You know? Yes. And interestingly enough with that, and you'll read it in Heirlooms, come to find out on top of battling with my hair being in its natural state, come to realize that I was battling with infertility as well.
Oh.
So we ended up not having children, not being able to have children. So I'm battling with that. But then my hair is still natural. Moving even further into my hair being natural, how I really felt, why I felt ugly. But an interesting thing happened along the way in walking through infertility and then also battling with my hair and how I felt about it. I started to attract other women who were natural and they would always say, "What do you do to your hair? I love your curls." I didn't understand for the life of me why they were approaching me about my hair and saying they love my curls. I remember one point in particular, my husband said, "It's almost like you have a neon sign that says, come ask me about my hair." It was amazing. So many people came and asked me, and as they asked me questions and I answered questions, I realized that there were points of resonance. I started to hear stories about women. Really, one woman came to me, she was almost in tears. Her hair completely damaged. She was bald in some places because of a perm gone bad. There were other women who I just heard the frustration of their hair not growing or wanting their hair to look a certain way. And I found myself encouraging them to remind them to love the hair that you have. So as I'm going through this and women are coming to me, you know, you get that sort of aha, eureka moment. Perhaps I need to really write this, that there is something there, not so much in a book for selling. I mean, obviously it's great to sell, but it's something that will help. There's stories that need to be told.
Wow. So I remember going natural myself. Okay. People would come up to me and say they like my curls when I wasn't even confident in them either. I was just like, what do you mean? I don't know about this.
Someone else's perception of ourselves as Black women is different than ours. And sometimes it can boost us to feel better about ourselves. But at the end of the day, what you found out, which I found out, you still have to come home to yourself. So you can't have a rah-rah cheerleader squad 24/7. At some point, it's incumbent upon us to dig deep and realize what's going on beyond the surface and get to the root of how we feel about ourselves. And if it's something negative, how can we untangle those emotions so that we can get to a healthy place? Because it's not about curls popping, because sometimes women's curls can pop and we hate ourselves.
Yeah.
See it. And suicide rates, you see it in toxic relationships. You see it in us maybe making unhealthy food choices and not exercising and a myriad of things.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah. So I know that just from like your website that you, when you first stopped using a perm, that you started pressing your hair. How did you go from pressing and straightening your hair to like letting go of the flat iron and the blow dryer and say, okay, let me big chop or let me try to wear my curls?
Great question. Again, just in terms of how I was able to move during the transition from pressing to just saying, I'm going to let it all go. Mm-hmm. Mine actually boiled down to money. I remember one particular incident where I had a speaking engagement and it was last minute. So I said, okay, I'm just going to spend $75 and get my hair straight. It was already natural, but it wasn't, to your point, it wasn't straight. So I was going to get a flat iron and curl. As I got up to speak, and I happen to perspire a lot when I speak, within 5 minutes,
it was gone.
I could feel my hair rising. As my voice rose, my hair rose. And that $75 went down the drain. And I kid you not, even though I was speaking, it was like I was having this outer body experience. It's like, I'm not perming anymore. I'm not perming because I wasn't perming. I'm not straightening it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that really was what did it, because $75 for like 5 minutes of it wasn't worth it. It got to a point where I said, this is just not, it's just not worth it. So I stopped at that point because I realized the financial, it just wasn't washing out financially, pun intended. My straightening was washing out, but that was not washing out. And so I sort of had to grin and bear it. It's like, we're going to have to deal with this. Now, along my 8-year journey of being natural, I have applied heat. You know, I remember this was like 2 years ago, I did another big chop. This was bigger than I'd ever done before. I had no hair on the sides. So I got rid of that because I had some heat damage. And so this time around, now that my hair has grown out a lot, I will not use a flat iron. And at most, I will sit under a blow dryer. The hooded dryer. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. But I find that it's just too much heat. And what I found out, even underneath the amount of heat, which was ultimately causing breakage, that I still wasn't okay with myself. Even after I had written the book. After all this, there were still some vestiges. There were still some other areas underneath where I had to get it just a little straight, even though I was natural. And so, again, I'm not a proponent, honestly, of perming or not perming or straightening or not straightening. My thing is know why you're doing what you're doing. And if there is an unhealthy root, deal with that. So that's what happened with me. So, again, the speaking engagement, not wanting to throw the money down the tube. And then over the course of the 8 years, going from a point where I would straighten it with a hot comb and flat iron maybe once or twice a year to now being pretty resolute that I'm likely not going to use any other heat besides a hooded dryer, and that maybe once a year just for the health of my hair and because I'm okay with it being fuzzy around the edges.
I'm the same way. I've stopped using heat on my hair just because also like knowing how your hair reacts to heat. I think my hair takes it in too much or it's too hot and damage is caused a lot quicker than some people maybe. I don't know, but
I agree. And you know, the other thing, I don't know if you ever felt like this too, when I really started, and I could tell I was really starting to embrace who I was with my natural hair, I was afraid of losing my curl pattern. It was like, oh my goodness. You know, I remember one of the last times when I had it blown out and it was straight. I was so anxious to see when the water hit, it wasn't going to curl up again. And when it did, I was like, yes. And I was like, wow, this is a different woman than like 8 years ago. But I don't want to lose that curl pattern. That's important to me. Who I am. It's how I was made. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That's true. Once I finally, like after transitioning from having a perm and pressing my hair and stopping using heat, I saw my curls come in more and more and more. And I was like, oh, this is my hair?
Yes.
Because your hair can look totally different if you're using heat all the time, and you may not say, okay, these curls aren't popping and I don't even feel confident about it, so I don't know if I should wear it. But as you, like for me, as I stopped using heat, I noticed my curls did a lot better, worked differently with products. And
yes.
So, but to go back on your other story, I never had, I had a similar experience when I used to get my hair pressed. I used to get it pressed every 2 weeks at the salon, and like that, what's it? The one where they, but they put it in the thing where it's like,
a hot oven.
And so they're like really hot plates going on your hair. But I used to get that done every 2 weeks. I stopped getting a perm, but I got that done. And then I would walk outside from the hair salon, and literally on the way home, it would be so humid, either outside in the car, my whole hair would be like puffed up, or either one side of it would be puffed up and the other side would be straight. And I'm just like, are you serious? Yeah. I just got this done.
Just got it done. Or either one instance, I had just got my hair done for a photo shoot. And wouldn't you know, we basically had a monsoon. I mean, before I even, while the cameraman was setting up the lights, the rain was coming down. I had, again, just like you, spent that money, and my hair was like, I'm not having it. I'm going up again. And it's like, well, here we are. So I had some straight and some not straight. So,
wow.
Yes.
I live in the South, so it's like really humid all the time. Yeah. And I went to school in Savannah, so there's no way you're going to be with pressed hair out there.
Sure, unless you're like... The only way is like a climate control room where it's like, don't move, barely do anything. Yeah, I get it completely.
Even my curls, sometimes when it's humid, I could tell my hair gets frizzier when it's humid. And I'm like, great, all the gel and everything I just put in my hair is gone. Okay, I guess we can go into the book or how you as a writer got connected to your hair journey.
Sure. So, as I mentioned earlier, it took me 6 years to write the book. Mm-hmm. And it may seem like a long period of time. It was for two reasons. Number one, it was very personal. So it took a lot out of me emotionally to actually write the book, because not only was I dealing with the self-loathing that was brewing underneath, but I talked very vividly about walking through infertility, also a sexual assault that I experienced as well, and how all of that tied into loving and feeling, you know, good about myself, or even not great about myself. So to really explain that in explicit detail so that the reader could understand what I was saying, it took time. There were times literally where I just had to stop writing and cry and work through the emotion and then get back up on the horse, so to speak, and start writing again. So that in and of itself, because of the emotional toil, that's why it took so long. And then the other piece, I have 32 people that I interviewed. So it just, and I didn't have a publicist helping me. I just was able to, by God's grace, do it myself. So it's trying to reach out to managers, reaching out to managers, getting, finally hearing yeses, then getting an attorney to actually have the proper and legal release of the words that the folks share with me and get their pictures. And because these individuals are ranging from Australia to Alabama, they're different time zones. So it just takes time. And they're highly esteemed, highly accomplished. They have very busy schedules. So trying to coordinate all of that, that is that whole piece. That's what, another reason why it took 6 years to actually be able to do it. And in one case, there was someone I was interviewing, and literally there was a legal battle that was going on for a number of months, and I just couldn't get the release form signed until a number of months later. And so finally, when I did, then I could move forward. So all of those different elements and pieces, really, that's why it took so long to actually write the book.
Can we talk about some of the stories, some of like your favorite stories in the book?
Yeah, I often get asked that. I love the question. Let's see. I had to say my all-time favorite was really Dr. Maya Angelou.
Wow.
She was a woman of grace, And I'll tell this story. That was actually the second time I had an audience, a one-on-one audience with her. The first time I met her, I was in college. And at the time, remember I talked about how I wasn't feeling great about myself. And when we don't feel as women good about ourselves, we attract who we are. So I was actually in an abusive relationship. And at that time, the person with whom I was in a relationship with, we went to go actually hear Dr. Maya Angelou speak. And so this was years ago when I was in college. And so I remember excusing myself to go to the restroom, and I was walking down the corridor, and there was nobody there because the show was getting ready to start. And she looms out of the dark, and it's just the two of us in the hallway, and she looks at me and she says, "My, what a pretty little girl you are." And aww, you hear that, she not knowing what I was going through, I will never forget that moment. So now fast forward almost 30 years later to have an opportunity to meet her one-on-one. Wow. Again, equally as gracious, equally as kind. And she embraced who she was. And I could just sit back and look at the lovely silver hair and know how accomplished she was and the things she had been through. And it just resonated in her voice that she really loved who she was. And so being able to be in her presence and hear how she had overcome whatever struggle she might have had to be at a point, sort of a finality that this is who I am. And I realized that I am gifted and I am a gift to those around me. Priceless. I mean, that was just amazing. And the other person who I really had a really great time interviewing was Kim Coles. You all know her, comedian and Hollywood actress and Living Single. And I'd seen her on TV so many times. And so to be able to spend time with her and hearing her story, at the time I had been married a little longer than she was, and she had not gotten married. So the stories that we talked about and she shared about how she was really concerned that men would like her or not like her because her hair was not straight, completely, that resonated with me. And I thought about times when I was told by guys, you know, that I just was not the preferred look. So again, because there were so many points of resonance, I would say that interview. So Kim Coles and Dr. Angela, those are the two that really stood out to me. But the other 30 interviews, equally as intriguing and great and just wonderful insights.
Wow. What would you say would be some ways for someone to start dealing with those uncomfortable roots or that you even had people tell you in the book that they dealt with it and they overcame it?
Sure. Great question in terms of how we can actually overcome some of the negative things that may be looming underneath. Mm-hmm. There's an acronym that I created, oddly enough, using the word hair, H-A-I-R. Healing always involves reflection. Let me say it again. Hair. Healing always involves reflection. That's the first step to really finding out what's going on underneath, if there is anything going on underneath. We live in a society where we operate at breakneck speed. We're microwaving. We're getting things done in a nanosecond. The phone is not picking up quick enough. You know, the boss is not moving quick enough. And we don't slow down. We don't reflect. And when we do take the time to reflect, we don't reflect on that which we're reflecting on. We'll look in the mirror and see something we don't like, but we won't stop and reflect enough to say, okay, why did I not like the reflection? Why did I have such a visceral response when I saw this or someone said this to me? And so that really is the cornerstone of everything, taking the time to slow down, listen to the messages that we tell ourselves, listen to the messages that stick to us and how we respond. Reflecting on the relationships that we allow into our lives or we push out of our lives. Listening and reflecting on the inner talk that we had to ourselves. Do we often compliment someone else but never compliment ourselves? Or if someone compliments us, we'll quickly say, oh, this is nothing, girl. You know, this old thing, we're known for saying that as women. Or either we'll quickly tear ourselves down or we'll wait for a man to compliment us before we say that we have worth. Healing always involves reflection. If we take the time to reflect, then we'll know if we need to get counseling. We'll know if we need to pray about a situation, if we need to journal, if we need to speak with someone else who's already gotten through that situation. None of that takes place unless we reflect. But when we reflect, we understand what we're really dealing with. And then also we'll be able to look over our lives and realize the beauty that's there in us. And it's not just because someone told us that we're beautiful, but it's because God has made us that way. And we'll be able to see the inherent beauty, not just in ourselves, in our journey as well. But it really starts with reflection.
That's important, yeah. And I could tell, like, you've gone through so much and you're such a strong woman. Just the different things you just told me and how you hold yourself. And I don't know, it's just really inspirational because I feel like sometimes I'm not as confident with my hair either. And I look forward to talking to different people about hair just to get some insight on what they're going through, different things I can connect with. You know, I'm still learning.
Doing a great job where you are. And the fact that you even have created this platform to give voice to those issues that may be underneath, you're on a great path.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. I don't know. I really want to read this book and I'm going to have it because even just, I want to help other women. Like my mom, she has a perm. She's a, what'd you call it? Serial permer.
Yes.
She's probably had a perm since she was like 18. I don't know. Or younger maybe, but, and she keeps her hair real short, but she told me like a couple of years ago, since I started my journey, that she may want to go natural one day, but she wants to wait till she retires from work. And I was like, okay, I mean, this is a good step for like towards going natural, but you don't have to wait for anything. I mean, she works in a school district, so I guess it's more corporate. She works like on the corporate side of the school district, but I don't know. It's interesting, and it would be interesting to read the book and have her read it and have her to start to deal with it, because I'm sure she has some things in her roots of how she feels, because she even tells me her sister's hair is a lot like straighter and a lot fairer than my mom. Mm-hmm. So even that from childhood, you know, how that affects her and how she sees her hair.
How beautiful that you can help to walk her through whatever phase she's in. She may not get there at the point that we may think, the fact that you're able to help her, that's beautiful. I know for me, my sister, who is 2 years older than I am, but she's been natural almost 20 years. And she's been an amazing role model. She challenged me to go natural when I was 16. And you know, I'm trying to, you know, be cute and have my baby head laying down and get with these cute guys. And so my sister and I used to joke back then, it was probably more so me. I said, if I die before you, you better make sure my edges are laid down in that past, or I will come up and I will get you. And we laugh about that. But to your point and what I was saying earlier, that it's always wonderful when you can have someone else to walk you along the journey, and you possibly being that for your mother, my sister Sheila, and actually I dedicated the book to Sheila. Because of that. And so she's the one that continues to walk me through the journey, even though I'm in it for 8 years and, you know, pretty much have my sea legs, so to speak. But every now and again, she'll say, hey, Michelle, did you check this product out? Or, hey, Michelle, did you try this new technique? And so just as you are able to possibly be a coach for your mom, as it were, it's great when we have reached a certain point in our journey and someone can stand on our shoulders. So that, our ceiling can become their floor. They can stand on top of us. And one of the things I will say, just in terms of whoever may be watching or listening, sometimes we often feel that we can't give voice to our journey because we haven't gone as far as someone else. But the thing that I have realized is that there is always somebody on either side or not quite where you are. So even if it's one step, share that one step, because it will make a difference in someone else's life. And I'm sure you found the same to be true for you in your journey.
Yeah, that's kind of why I started my YouTube channel. I started it before I was truly natural. I was still pressing my hair, and I had these microlink hair extensions. They're like by strand hair extensions that go on a tiny piece of your hair. And but they were straight extensions, so I had to make sure my hair was just as straight as the extension, so it would blend in because my hair was out throughout the extensions. So I just started to make videos about that, and then I realized that didn't do well with my hair because I was putting so much heat on my hair to try to blend it in. And so then I wanted to start going through that journey. Okay, well, what about if I don't put heat on my hair and I cut off my permed ends and I try to start this curly hair thing? And a lot of people have said it's helpful, and it's even helpful for me to look back at and see where I was. It's like, oh gosh, what was I doing?
But to see the growth, I mean, to see the journey is always great.
Yeah. Okay. So where can people find the book? Where can they get the book?
Sure. Wherever books are sold, but specifically you can go to Amazon. You can check us out there. Barnes and Nobles nationwide, the book is there. You can go to walmart.com. You can also, those are the main places. And also you can visit my website, heirloomsthebook.com. So to recap, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, walmart.com, target.com. And my website is heirloomsthebook.com. On social media, I am on at Michelle P. like Paul Roseman and at heirloomsthebook.
Nice. And for people inspired by your story as a writer, but may be having trouble, I know you have a course that you're promoting called Break the Block. If you could talk a little bit about that and how you could even get into writing a book.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that book, that course rather, Break the Block, Five Ways to Break Writer's Block and Become a Confident Writer. And the reason why I'm so passionate about that particular live online course is because of my journey. I've talked to you about my natural hair journey, but in terms of being a writer, I've been in the industry of writing and oral communications now for over 25 years. But believe it or not, when I first got started, a college counselor told me in basically no uncertain terms that if I did not pass a remedial writing course, I couldn't get into college.
Wow.
So I came from that point to having two books and worked in the federal government and trained in Bangkok, Thailand, taught folks to write successfully. And so I'm really passionate about helping people who may feel like they can't write or they have, there's something that's blocking them. And not just in terms of you don't know the words to say, but you may be blocked because there's some emotional scars. Someone told you, as they did with me in college, that you really are just not a great writer, or there are other people around saying no one's going to hear what you have to say, or you even believing that what you have to say is not worth hearing. So I just... able to graduate one cohort that has gone through Break the Block. They're finishing up this week. And so I'm super excited because over the next couple of months, I will start that 4-week live online course again. So it's for anyone that wants to become a more confident writer. You may be an author. You may have journal entries that you write. You may be tasked with writing white papers in a professional setting, a blogger. Anyone who writes, if they're text messages, you want to get more savvy with that in your emails, this is the course for you. And if you're interested in that, please hit me up, DM me at Michelle P. Roseman on Instagram. It's at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, P like Paul, Roseman on Instagram. And I can get you signed up and get you started.
And I'll have all these links in the description and the show notes. So
perfect.
If anyone's looking, they can find it there.
Yeah.
What's the start date? Is there a specific start date for the course, or?
A lot of times it will depend on the student schedules, but I'm looking to start either September or October. So, because I'm just finishing up now. So we're looking at like September, October. You figure when people have sort of gotten their vacay time out and they're ready, sort of school season starting right before we get into the holiday, and I'll do one or two classes during that time.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes.
Did you have anything else you want to share? I do have like a curly five question, like fast round question that I want to do. But sure. If you had anything else, or if you want to touch on anything else.
Well, the main thing I would say is that God does not make mistakes. The way you are is the way he wanted you to be. And so he did the hard work. So now what we have to do is discover why he made us the way that he did, and why in particular we look the way that we do, embrace it, and understand he did not make a mistake, and you are not a mistake.
Oh, that's beautiful. So number one, these are just, they're kind of the same questions I ask everyone. I might switch them up one day. But number one, if you could only have one hair product, what would it be?
Water. My hair loves water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it loves water.
Okay.
Number and two. Moisture. Oh. But water is just a gem for me. But I'll say the Shea Moisture product line.
Okay. Which one?
It's the Shea, the raw Shea butter.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Number two, wash and goes or twist outs?
Twist outs, because that's the best way for me to maximize the number of hairstyles I can get, because I can wear it out, then I can pull it up, and I'm able to do a lot with it.
So, okay. All right. Number three, if you could go back in time, what would you say to your younger self about your hair?
Oh, I would say, do not use a perm. Run far from perm. Love what you have. Goodness.
Oh.
Your hair is beautiful. That's what I would tell you. Your hair is bomb. It is. It's fluffy and frizzy and big. Do not get a perm. That would be the message to the younger Michelle.
Yes. Number four, what is one tip or trick you've learned with your hair?
How much my hair responds to water. When I first got started being natural, I was a product junkie. I think many of us were. I had a drugstore underneath my sink. And after, you know, I have since detoxed and I only have just a few sort of go-to products, I've realized how well my hair responds to water. So let's just say, for instance, I want my edges to be a little more supple, as opposed to reaching for a product now, I just put water on it and a brush and, you know, maybe tie it down with a scarf. But really the importance of water. Also, I drink a lot of water as well. Mm-hmm. So ingesting it and then putting on my hair, that's been a tip, and I would recommend. Now, understand, I always say this, everyone's hair is going to respond differently. So, but for me, I have found that there's one tip, and even if your hair may not respond favorably to water in the way that you want, you can't go wrong drinking it, because that's going to really help your hair to grow and to be healthy. Not necessarily longer, but it will just be healthy. So that's
my tip. I've noticed that my hair, it needs a lot more water and a lot more moisture. Even after the wash day, and I put all these products in, the next day, it may look like I didn't put that many products in, or, you know, the following day. So water is definitely helpful for me too.
Yes.
Number five, what is some advice that you would give someone looking to start embracing their natural hair?
Great question. I would encourage them to know that natural hair does not look like chemically treated hair. Mm. For me, for whatever reason, I was expecting my hair to respond the exact same way that when it was natural, and when I had a chemical, I was looking for my hair to do the same way. And so I didn't manage my expectations. So I would challenge you, if you're looking to transition, manage your expectations. And even though you may not know what your natural hair is going to do, you, what your hair is going to do in its natural state, understand it's likely going to be very different than when it's processed or when you have a chemical in it. And then onto that, what I would say is embrace it and speak well of your hair. Speak well, find something wonderful to say about it. And even though you may not believe it at time, what I found is that what we rehearse is what we perform. You think about actors on Broadway. They rehearse the lines because in time there's going to be a platform to perform. Similarly, when we think about ourselves and our natural beauty and how we feel about our hair in transition, if we rehearse those truths about our hair over time, the performance will take place. It will treat ourselves and our hair in a way that is worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely write your own curly hair affirmations.
Definitely do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing everything. Your story is beautiful again and very inspiring. And I can't wait to read this book and share it with everyone. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And again, kudos to you for really creating a wonderful platform for me and for others to share on. You're doing a great job. So thank you again for having me.
I told you, right? Michelle's story is really one of empowerment. I love her perspective on how she deals with her inner issues within to then help her love and embrace her natural hair, or how you can embrace your natural hair, your skin, and all of your natural beauty just by dealing with things within and how you feel about yourself from within. And it all starts there. So be sure to check out her links. They'll all be in the show notes below, to her book, to her Instagram. The handles will be there as well. And if you want to check out her course for writing, definitely go to her personal Instagram, Michelle P. Roseman. Okay, anyways, here's a few takeaways from today's episode, just in case you weren't taking any notes. I got you. So, number one, of course, I'm going to be reading these. Number one, know why you're doing what you're doing, like as if why you're going natural, why you are not going natural. And if there's an unhealthy root in there as to how you feel about what you're doing, deal with it, detangle it. Number two, hair. Healing always involves reflection. I loved how she used that word and turned it into something really deep. Healing always involves reflection. Number three, God does not make mistakes. We look the way we do because he wanted us to. Embrace it. Number four, water. Test to see how your hair responds to water, but definitely drink a lot of it. Number five, understand that your natural hair will not look like your chemically treated hair. That's important. Your hair is not going to react to products the same way. It's not going to do a lot of the same things it used to do when it was straighter. So understand that your hair may need a lot more care. It may need different products. It may need different routines. It may need all kinds of things. So that's definitely something to know going into it. And finally, number six, speak well of your hair. Recite and believe in your own positive curly hair affirmations. And I love that. That was like one of my favorite tips towards the end. Curly hair affirmations, like just speaking well of your hair, speaking well of yourself as well. Throw in some curly hair affirmations into your already like your normal affirmations. If you do affirmations, you don't have to say them out loud if you don't feel comfortable, but say them to yourself in your head. Just think about it and really believe it, and really believe, even if you don't necessarily believe, just start to think more positive thoughts or recite more positive thoughts about yourself to yourself, so that one day you'll believe. It'll just be like it, fake it till you make it kind of thing. But one day that will be true, and those words will always be with you. We might start doing some curly hair affirmations inspired by Michelle P. Roseman on our Instagram. So definitely follow us on Instagram at Proud and Curly. And that wraps up episode number 13 of the Proud and Curly podcast. If you felt like this episode was helpful, be sure to share it with your friends and share it with someone who needs to hear it. And go ahead and check out the last few episodes if you haven't heard them or seen them already on our YouTube channel at Proud and Curly, or wherever you listen to podcasts at Proud and Curly. And yes, thank you guys so much, and I will see you guys later. Stay proud and curly.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Proud and Curly podcast. If you like the podcast, please show your support by leaving a rating on the Apple Podcast app. It helps me so much, and it also helps other people find the show. Special thanks to Terrence Esquire Huggins for producing the music in this podcast. You can always check out his website, SoundCloud, and follow him on social media at EsquireMusic111. All of his links are in the show notes. If you're looking for more curly content, be sure to follow us on Instagram. But until next Friday, stay proud and curly.